Fang Bang.
Hello, and welcome to Fang Bangers Podcast. We are chaotic horny friends rewatching the chaotic horny HBO series, True Blood. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Tasia.
This week we're discussing Season 1, Episode 6, Cold Ground. The episode aired on October 12th, 2008. It was written by Rael Tucker and directed by Nick Gomez. So this is a summary from Wiki. Numbed by tragedy, Sookie looks for refuge from the cacophony of her friends and neighbors' inner voices. After lashing out at his sister and decking Andy, Jason wrestles with withdrawal symptoms from his V-juice habit. Tara resists the overtures of her alcoholic mother, Letty Mae, who's trying to rid herself of a demon and needs her daughter's help and money. Sam and Tara make a connection in their mutual search for something real. We're going to talk a little bit about how we feel about this episode, and how I feel about it is that this is the first episode in this project that I've watched twice. And while I was watching the second time, I was like, this is really like overkill, because this is not a super fun episode. So it wouldn't be on my top list for rewatches, you know, next time I decide to watch the first season. But Sookie does get to fuck finally, so that's great.
Yeah, it's not a super fun episode, like thematically or content wise, but also just like there's nothing big really that happens except for just like a couple of shitty things, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like there's no really like upside to this episode besides that like Sookie fucks. Everybody fucks, yeah. Really. This episode could be...
Everybody.
If this were a Friends episode, it would be called the one where everyone fucks.
This also is the halfway point of the season. And I think thinking about that, it kind of makes sense that it doesn't feel like much happens, because it really is like, okay, let's take a breather and just settle in with these characters where they are right now, which is everybody having sex to various levels of emotional success. And, you know, Jason's in the pits. Tara has made some decision, you know, about, it seems, what she's going to do, you know, with her mother and in her personal life. And like, yeah, Sookie and Bill are like a consummated relationship now.
Yeah, and to give this episode some credit, I feel like it needed to not really do a whole bunch besides kind of wallow in the moment, because mm-hmm. like we've been moving at such a breakneck pace, which has been great, like obviously for like retention and interest and everything. But we did need a breather after something as big as Sookie's grandmother dies. Like I feel like if they had kept up that pace in the next episode and it was just kind of like on to the next thing, that would have really taken that like the punch out of her mm-hmm. grandmother dying.
I totally agree. I wonder if that would have happened. I think that especially this first season might be something that isn't as fun to rewatch, because part of the fun of this is that this is a ridiculous show and it is fun, but especially in this first season, it is taking things that are serious pretty mm-hmm. seriously.
Yeah, it's not like, it's definitely still a campy show, but it's not reaching like the height of ridiculousness that it will later. And for good reason. It's one of those things where like it starts off so, you know, like this show is already like very campy, very like crazy, mm-hmm. but and then like every season they have to escalate that, right? Mm-hmm. So then like you end up in a place that's just like completely absurd, but like still fun mostly. So yeah, it does make sense.
The emotional bottom does kind of have to fall out, because mm-hmm. you can't, eventually we'll get to the point where you can't take time in these serious moments, because it would just feel absurd with what else the show's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, which means the serious moments themselves have to kind of fall by the wayside.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't wait. So we're going to talk about Sookie first, I think, because she has the bulk of this episode. So I think we'll just go through some of the secondary characters and how they're interacting with Sookie here. And then we'll get into some of the other specifics from the episode. And then also, obviously, we're going to talk about Bill. So,
yeah,
listeners, we will get there. I just put it last. So the episode starts and Bill's there with Sookie, and there's this like real like setup and like fake out with Sam entering the house to check on Sookie. You see like the low camera POV shot coming into the house, and then there's like a hand creeping around the door frame, and then it's just Sam, and he's not Knuff.
I've had a low tolerance for Sam from the beginning, and really even in my first watch I did not like him, but the like he's escalated too so much, like he's creeping so hard, right? I mean, she literally just found her grandmother dead in a pile, like in a puddle of blood. And he is still trying to like push at her. He's still trying to hit it when she's like, you know, she, and like later on in the episode, she has to be like, now is not the time. But why should she have to say that? Because like,
again, two times she has to be like, I just want to be alone. And it's, I mean, for all of Sam being like, I know what Sookie needs, or like, you don't have to tell me who Sookie is. He
doesn't, is right.
incapable of anticipating her needs to like the most base level. Like he really wants to make this about himself, and he's not thinking about Sookie. He's like, what can I do for you? And she's like, let's like leave the house where I can literally hear everyone's thoughts. Like it just seems crazy that she would have to tell him, if he knows her so well, that she would need to be like around less brains right now.
Yeah, I think that's the worst part, is that he is so, like the way that he talks about her, like, it's very clear that he's put her on a pedestal for a very long time as this, like, unattainable kind of, like, Madonna figure, right? And every time she acts real in any way, he's just, like, flabbergasted and, like, does not know what to do with her.
And doesn't know what to do with the fact that things aren't, like, smoothed over between them, because he wants to apologize to her, and she's like, can you do this later? Like, I love the way, you know, this is going to sound like I'm being derogatory, and I'm not, but like, Sookie's like weaponized politeness.
Yeah.
Sometimes she really can just cut straight through with that. And she says, like, Sam, can you apologize to me later? Like, she definitely will be hearing the apology, but this is just not, this isn't the time. And
yeah, she's like, I don't have time to soothe your feelings right now.
She wants to clean the house because it would have been important to Gran. And then you just see this very sad image of Sookie still in her date dress cleaning up this, like, massive amount of blood on the floor. And it's like, where are you now, Sam?
Yeah.
Like, you're just on the porch still?
Yeah, and if he were, even if, she, like, if she considered him a real friend the way he thinks that they're, you know, and both of them actually talk about like how close they are as friends, but if they had been, he would have been there with her, and his presence would not have been a distraction, or you know, he wouldn't have been pushy. Like, he would have been there to help her and give her what she needed in that moment, and what she needed was complete silence while they cleaned up the remnants of her grandmother.
And he can't do it because his brain is just constantly screaming, I'm sorry, at her. And so she can't be around him.
Yeah. He definitely, he makes everything about himself. And it's just, and he's super paternalistic to, like, everybody else about it. Like, specifically Bill, obviously, you know, he's very paternalistic about Sookie. Very like, oh, I'll take it from here. Like, you're fucking gross.
You.
Yeah.
Bitch, no, you won't.
Like, do you want to be her dad or do you want to fuck her? Like, you need to figure those two out. Yeah. It's gross. I hate it.
Yeah. So then the next day they're having like a gathering so everyone can come over and feed Sookie and, you know, be annoying. And we literally again follow an interesting POV into the house, but this time it's like a pie or a casserole. And it's so funny. Like, everything about these moments in the aftermath of Gran's death, like, is pretty much treated seriously by the show, except for this following the casserole POV into the house. And, like, the casserole hears all the gossip that's going through the house. And it's, like, kind of intense stuff. I think this episode does a really good job of, like, portraying how difficult this would be for Sookie, just because the constant barrage of comments about her life. And it's not even just her life and the way she moves, it's her grandma died, and that's mm-hmm. what everyone's talking about. It's horrible.
Yeah, and it's not just like, oh, I'm so sorry for this happening. It's not like, oh, this is like such a sad, which would be unbearable enough if those were just the thoughts that yes. she was constantly hearing. Just that, like the peak of kindness in that moment would have been too much if she had to hear it from everybody. But it's like nasty. It's nasty shit. It's blaming it Sookie. Been you. It's yeah.
And even saying that Gran brought it on herself, mm-hmm. it's like
ton of victim blaming happening.
She's dead.
Yeah.
She just had a nice event for all of you little gossips mm-hmm. to come out and meet a vampire, and you all had a great time. Now you're being assholes.
Yeah, this is just really an indictment against small town life, right?
Seriously. Maxine Fortenberry is allegedly making room in the refrigerator. But to Sookie's mind, she is touching this last pecan pie that Gran ever made, and Sookie loses it. And good for her, because mm-hmm. these people are terrible. And later we see her eat that exact whole pie. And I knew that a ghost story was after this, but I still had to make sure that, like, a ghost story is, like, famous for her eating that entire pie. But I'm like, hello, Sookie did it first.
Yeah. I think I really like the pie eating scene. I think it's kind of I think it's a really beautiful and for this show very understated mm-hmm. moment of like just grieving for Sookie. And I feel like, you know, she's in emotional turmoil throughout this whole episode, obviously. And then, you know, she's lashing out at people, everything. But then she sits and she eats this whole pie, and it's very much like going through it. You know, she eats that pie mm-hmm. and then she can let go of her grandmother at the end of it, or let go of her feelings about it. But I do have yeah. some, I don't know if you remember this, because I know you are also like terminally online. do you remember, like, probably, I mean, I don't know, fucking 5-10 years ago, that on Twitter probably the like a photo or a video of Sookie eating that whole pecan pie was like circulating online, with everybody being like, that's not a pecan pie, that's not a real, you know, people having to always make comments about stuff like that, like it's not a real pie or whatever. And I remember, I don't know why this, like, I just vividly remember this, that Anna Paquin was like, it wasn't a real pecan pie because I'm an actress and I have to be thin and naked in this show all the time. So I cannot sit there and eat an entire pie over like several hours of shooting if I want to keep my job. I think it ended up being like a non-fat Jello pie or whatever, but it's just,
yeah, which sounds disgusting.
Yeah. And it's just like, an interesting honestly, moment of like, oh, go ahead.
It doesn't look like a real pie. And I didn't have that yeah. thought. But, like, I didn't care, which is, mm-hmm. in my opinion, brag, the, like, correct way
yeah.
to watch yes. TV. If exactly. you tell me it's a pecan pie, it looks reasonably like a pecan pie, I'm into it. I mean, what do I care? Like, she's obviously, mm-hmm. like, distraught. I mean, you can feel those emotions through the performance, whether or not the fucking pie is real.
And it's just one of those moments that makes you, like, remember that, like, no matter what a woman does, it's bad. Because yeah, if it had been a real pie and Anna Paquin had not been as thin as she was, then people would be talking about that.
Exactly.
And people are looking at it now like, oh, she's eating a Jell-O pie because she's trying to be skinny because that's like so shallow. But like if she didn't do that, you would be thinking other things. So, yeah, it's a lose-lose.
Actors are literally on strike right now because they are not protected. So uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a lose-lose-lose all the time.
Yeah, all the time. But Sookie does have, like, some good support from Tara and Lafayette, which is really funny because she's like, girl time. She's like, come on, Lafayette. Like, mm-hmm. you were 100% coming. Tara gives Sookie, like, a really lovely pep talk, including the line, stop being so damn appropriate. This is not an appropriate event. And I just think that's really nice. And I would like to remember that next time I am going through a not appropriate event and thinking about, like,
how you're reacting.
Yeah, like, or how I'm, or just, like, giving any space to the thought of, like, how other people are perceiving me and, like, mm-hmm. if that matters, because it doesn't, and Tara's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Tara wants to tell Sookie, she'll tell everybody shut up. It's not that easy for Sookie because she can read minds, but Lafayette is like, I have something for that.
Mm-hmm.
He gets his little baggie out. Sookie doesn't do drugs, so she doesn't want that. But he's like, this is not drugs. This is just a Valium, which is, I think, very, very funny. funny. And, like, obviously, yes, it's still drugs, but, like, in this moment, it's not drugs the way Sookie's, like, thinking about them. Like, you're not doing drugs. Like, this is medication for literally this type of event.
Yeah. I love Tara kicking everybody out because she's, so, like, she's not sparing anyone's feelings like Sookie would have probably, or, like, bothering with politeness. She's just like, yeah, get the fuck out. Everybody leave now.
You too, Sam.
You too, Sam, which should show Sam in itself where he, like, where he ranks among her closest friends. Like, she, if he were that close to her, he would be there with Tara and Lafayette.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got kicked out like everyone else.
But then Tara and Lafayette would have to, like, hang out with him while Sookie's napping, and it's like, that can't, that he's their boss.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not that that has stopped him from inappropriate relationships with his employees.
Sookie, so they have the funeral, and Sookie's speaking for Gran, and again, loses it. Because everyone keeps thinking things at her, and she tells everybody to shut the fuck up, and it's great. And I think that they
iconic.
Should.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they all deserved that.
They did. I mean, it's crazy because I know, I mean, I know intellectually that especially at, like, an event like that, people are thinking inappropriate things just because that's how people are. And it's just, like, one of those things when things are very serious, your brain does stuff. So I get it. But no one should have to know that. I mean, the show doesn't give as much time to, like, what has happened to Sookie in the past when she's tried to have, like, relationships with men. Or I don't remember how I said that, but, like, the show doesn't do as much of that as, like, the book does. And as we've gone through this, I've been thinking, like, oh my God, that would literally be the worst. Like, I wouldn't want people to know what I'm thinking in those moments. Cause it's, again, one of those times where, like, your brain just does weird things. I don't know. I didn't do that. Like,
I mean, they're called intrusive thoughts for a reason. You do not want to be sharing them with people.
Yeah. I can't honestly call it, like, between the two situations, like, which is worse, like, to hear
having your thoughts heard or
when you're grieving or when you're about to have sex with them.
Oh God. Just never. I think being a telepath, like, ranking amongst, like, all of the superpowers would be the worst. I would hate it. I mean, you could definitely use it, but I would also, like, I am not secure enough to hear people's, like, unfiltered thoughts about me. I would just have to throw myself off of a bridge or something.
So, like, apparently Jason invited this man who we had never heard of before. His name's Uncle Bartlett. Sookie is very upset that he's at the funeral, and it turns out that, like, Jason invited him because he thinks that, like, all the beef was between Gran and Uncle Bartlett, and Sookie's like, you don't know what you're talking about. That guy sucks. We'll find out more in the show. Yeah. I mean, obviously. But she also tells Jason that they're not family, which that is such a fall for Jason. Like, he just really is going through it right now, and I can't say he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to be really honest, I don't think I have ever forgiven Jason for hitting his sister the way that he did. Like, the way he instantly blames her as well. Like, he is voicing all of the town's worst thoughts, and it's coming from somebody that she loves so much, that is so close to her, that is her fucking brother, and he's blaming her for everything. And when he, like, couldn't even fucking answer a phone call because he was so fucked up, like, fuck you, Jason. Right. And then inviting this guy who his grandmother, he knows that there was tension there. He doesn't know the reason for it, but he knows that his uncle was cut out of their lives for a reason. And he didn't even bother to discuss it with Sookie first.
And, like, note to anybody who might someday listen to this ever in the future, who might someday be involved in planning my funeral, don't invite motherfuckers I hate.
Yeah. Like,
like, just because I'm dead, it is not over.
It seems like that should be an easy thing. Like, I've told people, like, I've told my own parents, I'm like, if this motherfucker shows up at my funeral, you make a big scene and you kick them out. Because if you see this person, like, crying some crocodile tears over me, absolutely fucking not. No.
I'm going to cut this out, but I'll just, like, we can just keep talking about Jason, and then I'll just take this stuff out of the back. I think that the episode, like, tries to actually... Yeah, like, he shows up at this gathering at Sookie's house and, like, smacks her. And then he even ends up, like, putting hands on Andy Belfour and, like, tossing him, basically showing off his, you know, residual V strength yeah. for the whole town because he's a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm. As Lafayette said, use a stupid bitch, Jason Stackhouse. And this one.
For real. Yeah. So but the episode spends a lot of time, like, getting you into, like, Jason's, like, hangover slash withdrawal POV. And I didn't really have this thought until we were talking about it, but I sort of feel like the episode goes to lengths to, like, make you kind of sympathize with how overwhelmed Jason is with, like, mm-hmm. his, just, like, the physical state of how he's experiencing things right now. But it's, like, you don't get forgiven for hitting Sookie, even though we have spent time in your, like, weird flashes,
yeah,
you know, withdrawal situation. I mean, because they make him look pathetic. And because this is, like, mid-2000s, I don't necessarily trust that the episode is trying to hammer in how pathetic he is. I think that the episode is trying to be like, see, he's really going through it too, guys. Like, mm-hmm. people make mistakes. And, like, none of them should ever be, like, laying hands on anyone.
Yeah, no. Like, really kicking someone when they're down. And the thing is, like, I understand, you know, you're going through it and you're having all this emotional turmoil and you're going through withdrawals and everything else. Your grandmother just died. But your sister's grandmother just died, too. And mm-hmm. She would never fucking do that to you. Like, she has done nothing but try to protect his dumb ass. And, oh, no. No, mad forever.
And, like, even now, like, Lafayette is, like, working. He's working, like, the gossip mill to, like, kind of cover for Jason. But really, it's covering mm-hmm. for himself. So, yeah. I mean, who knows how Lafayette really feels about Jason at this moment other than he's a stupid bitch. And, like, don't get me in trouble. Do not show off your super strength.
Yeah.
Don't.
He really is just a stupid bitch.
He tries to throw out, like, his other little V drop that Lafayette gave him. But as soon as he does it, he has regrets. So then he's, like, scrambling and crying in the dirt trying to find it. I mean, mm-hmm. it really is sad and pathetic. Yeah. And, like, sad as in pathetic.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's sad. He's still with the divorce lady. She reverse cowgirls him while he sobs hysterically. And it is embarrassing for everyone, including us, the viewer.
Sookie's moment of grief is, like, eating the last of her grandmother's last pie. And Jason, true to nature, very on brand. His moment of, like, reckoning with his grandmother's death is while he is literally having sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah, so flashback to the beginning of this episode where Bill can show up, like, right as Sookie's screaming over this, but he was, like, missing as fuck while Gran was getting murdered. Like, it's very weird.
It is, but I think, so here's my, and I could be wrong here, is I think that they still have, like, a bit of a connection because of the blood exchange situation. Sure, yeah. So I think that is why he's so in tune with whatever is happening with Sookie. Mm-hmm. Like, he wakes up when she's having that bad dream when she's on Valium. When in her dream she calls for him and he wakes up, and I think that's mm-hmm. like their psychic connection that they have now because of the blood exchange. So that's the only way that I can excuse that. Otherwise, he fully, like, allowed Adele to get murdered, like, for his own motives.
If I ever have a vampire boyfriend, I'm gonna have him get a tiny little drop of blood from, like, all the people I like.
Mm-hmm. So now all of our bodyguards.
Mortal danger. Yeah, he could just pop up. Yeah, like you said, she has that bad dream and he, like, feels her fear.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to check on her, but she's fine. It's kind of funny. They have this, like, conversation. She's obviously very comforted to see him. So he stands in the yard drinking his little True Blood by himself. And mm-hmm. then the little dog comes and stands by his side. It's, like, so silly. So it's actually the pie point of view and this shot yeah. of the dog and Bill that are the silliness in this episode.
I love the, like, the look that he and the dog exchange. It's just, it's
me and
just
you, gold. Me and you, buddy.
Yeah. It's also kind of like a, ugh, why are you here kind of thing.
Yeah. As soon as Sookie can after the funeral, she is, like, lingering in the mirror, taking her hair down, putting on her little white nightgown.
Oh, my God. It's so deliberate.
Run full force out the door to Bill's house. I didn't fact check this, but in my memory of this scene, Bill has, like, French doors or whatever the two doors are that open, and Because in my mind, Bill is like two-handed flying open his door.
Yeah.
Greet Sookie in the yard because he can feel her intention of coming over to fuck.
Mm-hmm. God, how embarrassing these psychic connections must be. I would move out of the country and change my name and never speak to my soulmate again if we could read each other's thoughts.
It's really too much. But yeah, he like bridal carries her. It's
mm-hmm.
quite romantic. There's candlelight yeah. involved. There is.
They're in front of a fireplace, involved. Aren't they? Like, it yeah. is just the most cliche thing you've ever seen. I love it. It is pure camp.
Bill's fangs pop out and he gets embarrassed. We have a book section, but I'm just going to pull this part out and say that in the book, Sookie is a virgin and they talk more about it than I think is appropriate in the year of our Lord 2023, but yeah. whatever. He tells her that they won't be able to make love for 2 or 3 days because she's going to, you know, be sore because it hurt. He like stops them and he's like, this is going to hurt Sookie. And it's like, I don't know. It doesn't got to be like that. She's in her 30s. It's fine.
Yeah.
But he heals her vagina with his blood.
That's a real one. That's a keeper.
I can't deal with it. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be like a continuation of like the sexy vibes in the book. Cause this is like a romance novel. So the sex is supposed to be sexy, but I completely couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Could not do it. Sookie, you can read minds. You ever heard people thinking about what it was like to lose their virginity? Are you kidding me, Kat?
He answered.
But yeah, Sookie and Bill, they did it. They're in love now.
Yep.
In the book, they do round two, but I guess that's for next episode.
Round two is implied. And three and four.
Yeah, forever. Until the sun comes up, Bill couldn't really be with Sookie for like any of these important things this episode just because of the sun.
Yeah.
It's a real buzzkill.
I wonder what they're going to do about that in the future.
I wonder, okay, you know when someone like plays outside or like lays outside, they have like a hot outside like scent to them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if Sookie is like tanning at like 2 to like 4 and then goes to Bill's house like right at sunset, say like 8:52 or whatever, do you think that's like too far away for her to still taste like a sun-dried tomato?
I was just thinking, like, do you think if she just came in right out of like right out of the hot sun, like that she'd be a little spicy to touch?
Oh, probably.
Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess we'll never know. Because the sun like strength is just too low right before sunset. But I guess,
oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, anyway.
Unless he was already awake and she just went inside. Charlene Harris, we need the answers.
Yeah, can he wake up early? It seems like he can because he yeah. woke up. And I wonder if we'll ever get to find out if Bill can wake up in the middle of the day. Do you think?
Oh, yeah. I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah, so, really the only other... we've talked about basically everything that happens in the episode except for what's really going on, like, with Tara. Personally, we did talk mm-hmm. about how she's a great friend to Sookie. But she, after Jason hits Sookie, she tells him off. And it is quite a good scene. Like, her disillusionment with him is pretty heartbreaking to watch because we know she's loved him since she was a child. But it's such a good line reading. Like, her voice and her chin are quivering. There are tears in her eyes. She just, like, loves Sookie and she loved Gran so mm-hmm. much. And, I mean, it sucks for Jason because I would never want Tara to be like offsides from me.
Yeah. And she, I mean, she really read him. Like, he needed to hear everything she said.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he wasn't in the space to absorb it at the moment, but I hope he did later.
Yeah.
Because, like, and if somebody who loves you as much as Tara loves you, to have her be like, I don't even recognize you.
Yeah. Well, and she loved him when she knew who he was. Like,
yeah.
She was privy to everything he was doing all around town for his whole entire life, and it was still fine. So,
mm-hmm.
you've obviously crossed the line.
Yeah. Yeah, you know you fucked up.
Yeah. And she continues to be furious because her mom speaks at Gran's funeral, and she says some really nice things. And I had kind of forgotten where the episode was going when I watched it the first time, because I was like, that's a pretty nice thing that she's saying. And then Tara's furious, saying like, yeah, but you hated her.
Yeah, for all those reasons that you're
like,
yeah,
she was taking care of me and it was very important to me. And like, you made it harder because you called her like a white devil bitch or whatever.
Yeah.
She said. But it wasn't Letty Mae. It was Letty Mae's demon.
How convenient.
I know. And the demon is going to be very expensive to get exercise.
Of course. Why not? You just have very expensive ways to avoid responsibility for your choices and for the way that you've treated your child their entire life.
I know. It's really... The actor, I should have looked it up. The actor who plays Letty Mae, I think, is really good, especially because I've seen her in several other things, and every time I'm like, it's Tara's mom.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she is very good.
Yeah, they have this conversation. I guess, like, Tara ends up ending the episode going back to her mother. And I can't really figure out why. I mean, I know why, because it's like Tara loves her mother and she's very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
But
the connecting tissue there, like, it isn't really there. Like, I feel like it was literally one moment, like, her and Sam hook back up because neither one of them wants to be alone. And
it's
so that's part of it,
though.
Clearly. Like, she's feeling very raw after Adele dying and after her mom and everything. But then it's like, what is it? Like, her loud neighbors reuniting and making up is what is like the final straw.
Yeah,
like,
it's so weird. I don't know why someone else also having sex in their apartment complex makes her go back. And
yeah, it's a very weird connection.
Tara and Sam really aren't a great match. And I think that their chemistry is a little bit more palpable the first time we see them hook up.
Yeah.
And this time, I really can't feel it, but that's okay because I understand what they're doing, which is like, we don't want to be alone.
Right.
But when
I feel
Sam
like it tracks
says,
there.
Sam says, like, I don't want to be teased. I don't want to play games. Like, if we do this, we're doing this for real. And it's just like, I can believe that Tara would do it anyway because she wanted to. And like, we'll deal with those consequences later. But then she, like, in terms of, like, strings, she goes from the sex, and, like, instead of having strings to Sam after the sexual encounter, she has them with her mother. Like, it's very weird.
It is really weird. It's a really weird connection that doesn't track, really.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm very interested to see what happens with Tara and her mother. You know, I remember some of it. So I'm, like, excited to get deeper into that story, because I think Tara's life,
you know,
and character is interesting.
Yeah. Do you know what I think would have made that scene better is instead of going there and Sam making a big, like, if we're going to do this, we're going to really do this. Because it doesn't really track for him either, because he, like, 5 minutes ago was still,
you
like,
are in love,
desperate for Sookie. What would have made sense to me, which I think would have been a better, like, through line there, is if he had gone there and been like, we just need to bang it out. I don't want connection. I just want to, like, work my grief or my frustration out on with somebody else. And if that was kind of the thing, like, after you get like that satisfaction moment and immediately afterwards the real world comes crashing back and then you're like, I don't want a nothing connection, I should reestablish an older you know, like, it would make more sense to me if she, that made her be like, I want something real and I need to help, like, I want to help my mom because I want to build that relationship.
Yeah, or if
again.
It was like, well, I have connections in my life that, like, I'm not,
like, nurturing.
Like, if there was
whatever.
Some way to connect, like, all of Tara's, like, caretaking instincts, which I kind of think is a little bit there with Sam, because neither of them want to be alone. So she feels like they could be that for each other. And it's like, we could get there with her relationship with Jason, you know, kind of crumbling, and tie that back to, like, how she feels towards her mom now. But yeah, I mean, the episode doesn't do that, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically the bulk of the episode. I think we did it. And then we definitely still have some things to talk about.
Yeah, I think we got the main points. I don't have a whole lot else besides, like, just to, like, hate on the cops for a minute. I forgot how much I really fucking hate Bud Dearborn. The guy sucks. I also think they're fucking idiots. Like, Bill literally has to hold their hand and guide them to what should be the most obvious fucking conclusion, which is that, like, yeah, somebody is clearly targeting women who associate with vampires. who's most likely to do that? Is it going to be vampires, or is it going to be people who hate vampires punishing these women for that association? Like, did you go to like elementary school, much less like detective school, you know, like, and then I really need Andy Belfour to let go of Jason. He's like a dog with a bone. He deserved getting slammed up against that truck because
yeah,
you're going to go to this guy's fucking like the wake or whatever. And accuse him of killing his own grandmother. Like, that is wild. That is wild. Jason is a lot of things. He's a lot of really stupid, shitty things. But he is not a fucking grandmother killer.
No.
That is just madness.
Especially because, I mean, I guess we can't even trust that these cops are operating fully on the theory that it's the same person that killed everyone. Like, I'm sure in Andy Belfour's mind, mm-hmm. somebody could have killed Mada and Don, and also Jason killed his grandma, even though... from the outside, that's ridiculous. It's obviously yeah. the same person.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just obsessed with it being Jason. And I don't.
What they're both like running on right now is their own biases, because Bud Dearborn is obsessed with Bill as the bad guy, and Andy's obsessed mm-hmm. with Jason. And it's just, you guys are both so far off the mark.
Well, and they could ask, like, if they don't believe Bill when Bill says, like, a vampire would not kill this way, because a vampire wouldn't waste their food like this. Like, it's mm-hmm. already becoming so much more scarce for vampires to even get to feed on humans. So if right. I'm going to kill somebody, I'm obviously going to take the blood. If they didn't want to take Bill's word for that, like, you know where you can find other vampires and just, like, fact check.
Right.
And they're not doing that.
Well, it's too easy to just run with your own stupid assumptions and your own biases.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, eventually someone's going to have to solve these murders, and it just might be Bill.
Yeah, he's at least on somewhat of the right track, because yeah. the only two working cops in this city are both chasing leads that make zero sense when you're looking at the actual case. Like, I'm no detective, but I don't feel like you need to be Sherlock Holmes to figure out you should look at motivations and, like, what motivation do either Jason or Bill have to kill Adele, or vampires right. in general to do this, or, you know, like,
right.
and you've seen, like, all of the vampire bigotry.
I'm going to kill the old white lady that, like, invited me into her church to, like, speak to all of her friends. Mm-hmm. Like, no,
yeah.
that's obviously an ally.
Yes, exactly.
As far as character intros go, we are introduced to Tara's mother, you know, more permanently. Mm-hmm. and her demons, which are apparently in her mind a whole entire separate thing.
Literal demons, so, not even figurative demons.
Two,
according to Letty May.
Two. Yes, she has Letty May and her literal demon. Yes. And I think that's it as far as like new characters.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, what do you think is the most chaotic thing in this episode?
I think the most chaotic thing is Sookie staying in the fucking murder house and insisting. And it's not just that she does that and she wants to clean up, which I think you're crazy. Hire somebody, like, go stay at a hotel or something. How can you sleep in that? I would not be able to. But it's not just that she's insisting on doing that. It's that she, as she does so, she says she is just as safe there as she is anywhere, when that is just, like, empirically not true. That is, your grandmother was literally murdered there like 5 minutes ago. Just could not be less true. You're in the middle of nowhere next to a cemetery.
Yeah,
come on.
That is a pretty chaotic choice for Sookie. I mean, she's just like so fucking stubborn, Sookie. I mean, mm-hmm. you're obviously not safe. Like, this was a murder meant for you. And
yeah,
was Adele safe? Like, what's your plan?
Exactly. Yeah. What do you have to, what do you bring into this anti-killer table? Like, how are you protecting yourself?
She's like, I have my bodyguard, Vampire Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he's like, later.
A hope and a prayer. Mm-hmm. My most chaotic thing is a filmmaking choice, which is this episode does like a smash cut from Bill bridal style carrying Sookie to Tara and Sam like in the final moments of them having sex, and it is so jarring. And it almost is like, episode, I know you cannot possibly think that I'm gonna think that these two trysts hold the same emotional weight.
Yeah.
Like, these are not the same things that are happening. I just think that's really funny. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the most horny thing, except for Taser's just going to say what it is because there's only one horny thing in this episode.
I'm just going to read it the exact way that I wrote it down, which is...
Yes, this is what I hoped for.
Sookie running through a cemetery in a flowy white nightdress like a historical romance heroine, rushing to her brooding hero so he can finally divest her of her maidenhood. It's that.
And
it's,
that's it.
It's just it. Yeah. Yeah. Just so extra. I love that for her. I really do.
Yes. It is truly horny and like the purest sense of the word if you're thinking about like... at this as like a romance story.
15-year-old me really, could have never dreamed. Like,
no.
Yeah.
We don't really think of this story like this because like it's genre and it's campy. But they are romance novels, so they gotta do it. Yeah, I mean, I'm proud of Sookie. I'm happy for her.
Yeah. She had a moment that I would have sold my left arm for when I was a teenager. It's all I ever wanted.
100%. And I just love that like she did have a couple of those like dreams in the early episodes of her running to Bill's and like sleeping with him.
It's a nice payoff.
It played out nearly exactly how she's been fantasizing. Yep. The running in the nightgown.
It's called manifesting.
Nice. Was she even wearing shoes?
I don't think so.
I hope she cleared a path. Like, what if there's...
Well, like a snake. That would be a real boner killer.
Oh, my God. Then Bill would have to suck the snake venom out and maybe boner's would back. He die? Or would it be fine?
I think he'd be fine.
Okay.
I think you're fine because, I mean, as long as... If he were human, like, as long as it didn't enter, like, the bloodstream, right? Because you can suck poison out of wounds and just spin it out because poison and venom, like, don't work the same, I guess. As each other. So you could
now
theoretically, I don't know, you guys do not quote me on this, please.
This
do
not
go drinking
advice.
Venom of any kind of animal, but like theoretically you could just spit it out and you'd be fine.
Okay, so if it's a snake, it's fine. If she like stepped on a stick or something and then her like foot was like bleeding when she got there, I'd be like honestly worried.
Right. Yeah,
just a little bit. What if he had like vampire visitors there that weren't prepared for her to be there
awkward
on the front steps?
So awkward. Even if she wasn't bleeding, just to run up and he's got like company, you're just there in this virgin virginity losing dress. Like, feel very overdressed.
Okay, I talked about my book spoiler already, but we do have another one.
Yeah, so we get our first mention of Hadley, who is Sookie's cousin and will be somebody who makes a comeback.
Yeah.
At some point.
She hasn't been heard from, like, in years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Excited for Hadley. I don't remember much about her, but...
So, these two memories are, like, not... The memory of, like, watching and enjoying True Blood when it was airing and the next thing I'm going to say are not connected at all in my mind. So I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, but when I wanted to have kids, one of the names I wanted to name a child was Hadley. And when I heard that in this episode, I was like, did I literally get that from True Blood?
I hope so.
And I hope so. I don't know. I will never know unless I go and like read my journals from this time, but I'm not doing that. So
it could have even just been like subconscious. Maybe you just like,
yeah,
you heard it 100%. And it stuck somewhere in your head.
So yeah, Hadley would have been cute. Okay. So cliffhangers, Bill's tongue on Sookie's bite wound. Is this even a cliffhanger?
It's not. I really don't think it is. Unless,
I don't think it is either.
Yeah. Unless they're trying to imply that like Sookie's life is genuinely in danger because Bill bit her. I don't think that they are doing that. I don't think it's a cliffhanger. And honestly, just even though it is like a sexy moment, the whole thing is just pretty underwhelming compared to the other ones. So for me personally, I would put it last.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that that's probably where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So real cliffhanger like fluctuation in the last episodes. They needed to give us some time to recover from the cliffhanger of Gran, which currently sits at number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah.
I know, we reached epic highs last time.
I know.
We crashed back down. Yeah, they had to give us a week off.
Okay, so I think that's really it this time. I think we did it.
We did. Look at us. We're so, succinct, you know?
I know. It was just, the episode obviously wasn't boring, but there's nothing to really get carried away over either.
Yeah, a lot of it is just kind of slow character stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just character work. Like letting Sookie grieve, letting Jason lash out and also grieve, letting Tara make the decision to go back to her mother. Just a light character, not light, but subtle character work, I guess. Subtle for this show.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what is going to happen next week. Do you know who we haven't seen in a while?
Who?
Eric. Remember we met him? Where is that
guy? We met him and he has not come back since and I miss him every day.
Where is that guy? Where's his friend Pam?
Yeah, I need both of them.
Yeah. Okay, do you have plugs?
Yeah, I have a podcast called ActiAge. You can find us at ActiAge.com or anywhere you get your podcasts about young adult literature mostly, with occasional detours into other genre work. Some of it featuring the other person on this podcast right now.
Wow. Yeah, we have had a lot of fun on ActiAge. Mm-hmm. I love that podcast.
It's always a good time recording with Melissa, wherever you do it. But other than that, you can also find me on Instagram at RageyCakes. How about you?
Cool. I have a sometimes podcast that is turning into maybe a YouTube channel thing, but it's not like it's going to be videos of me talking, you know, we're just going to put the podcast on YouTube rather than do hosting and all that, because it's probably going to be pretty sporadic. But anyway, that's Wild Pretty Things. We recorded an episode that might be out by the time you hear this. I'm not exactly sure. But that is about our favorite canceled TV. So that'll be fun to just think about all the TV that doesn't exist anymore. I swear, nice. Some more fun than that. and other than that, you can find me at Mellow Yellow in most of the places, Twitter, Blue Sky, Letterboxd, all that. Nice. We would like to thank DJ Empirical for our theme song. And you can find the pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Fang Bangers Pod with a Z. And you can email us your chaotic, corny thoughts just on True Blood, please, to fangbangerspod@gmail.com. That's also with a Z. Next week, we will be discussing the episode Burning House of Love. And until then, I'm Melissa, and my blood type is the point of view of a casserole.
I'm Tasia, and my blood type is everyone shutting the fuck up.
Bye.
Bye.